Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to testify of your grace, of your goodness, of your promises, of your word, Lord, to get together with fellow believers that enjoy worshiping you and that love you and love your word. And just pray that you would minister to us now. Feed us with your manna, Lord. Touch our hearts, soften our hearts. May we ever have ears to hear, Lord. And just pray that you would have your way here, Lord. Pray for the ones you would bless Keith and Shell, Lord, as they spend some time alone, as they usually carry so much weight. We just bless them in their serving, Lord, and bless their time off, Lord. In the name of Jesus, have your way out. Hallelujah. Amen. So yeah, you are very much aware, once you have to step up to the plate, how much weight they usually carry in worship, and I don't think I thank him enough or bless him enough. But I can say this much: I sure was blessed last Sunday by the message. It was rich. I don't know, just the whole service. Yeah, amen. Thanksgiving. And let's just go to Colossians. We'll just start out there where he had touched on. When he asked me to preach, I was like, you know, it's always good to talk about faith, and Quarter mentioned faith this morning. And what is always probably in my heart of hearts, that a thing that is always kind of not far away, is that we don't lose our worship and our love for our Redeemer, for our Savior, and just become mechanical in our relationship, even as a marriage might become mechanical. Why is that? Because there was such a huge difference when the Holy Spirit came in, and there was that two-way street, that relationship, that love relationship. So that's never too far from me. But I was also walking in conversations I've had. I was like, what do I share on? You know, because as we go through life, we have conversations with people, and sometimes that is on our mind then, and so we're open, the word is ministering to us in different ways. So we'll just kind of start out here in Colossians. I would say exhortation to not be weary in well-doing is something in that line. Is my burden. I don't know if that's a title. I don't know if I have a title, but yeah. I think the title will come to Bill or somebody back there as sometimes they label them, which is fine because, you know, that's fine. So Colossians 2. Turn to Colossians 2. Thank you, Jesus. We'll read two verses here, 6 and 7. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Okay, so there we have that. And as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And Keith went on from there, which is, you know, our because of our experience, because of what he's done. You know, I had to think when he was preaching. I made more notes last Sunday than I usually do, but I had to think of Romans 12, which what's our reasonable service now is because of this deliverance, and so I got some direction just from. Yeah, just for even in last Sunday. Now let's just turn also in Colossians chapter 1, let's read verse 20 through 23. Colossians 1, 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, I love these verses here, they're just so powerful. By him who reconciled all things unto himself, By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So he's got everything under control. He made things right. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Praise the Lord. In the body, how did he do it? In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And verse 23, if you continue in faith, there we are again, continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You know, sometimes you sow and you pray, and then you're like, but this says keep on. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and that which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So, in reading this, I had to think, and I have been thinking of Romans 10. So we'll turn to Romans 10, where it talks about how they can't believe unless they hear. Can't believe unless they hear. Let's start reading, I guess 13 maybe, verse 13, Romans 10. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Then verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, we are a praying church, and I appreciate that. And we need to pray, but also we need to sow seed. We need to, I think that gets more rejection. It, you know, there could be more resistance if we actually bring the word, but it is how faith comes, by hearing the word, and it is how seeds are sown, which this then chapter takes me to Matthew 13. Thank you, Jesus. We'll start in verse 1, Matthew 13. I think we'll read to 23. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked him. But others fell on good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. When the disciples said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, And whosoever, okay, and he shall have more abundance, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. But in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and with joy received it. It was good news to him. He believed it. And yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So I believe for us to be in the category of the last, we need to be faithful in the little bit he gives us, to walk in the truth he's already given. And then, you know, because it's in our heart to bear fruit because of what Jesus did for us. That's just an automatic response for us to want him to receive glory and honor and for our fellow man. We love our fellow man because Jesus, we love him because he first loved us, and therefore we love our fellow man. Amen. It's just of the seed of Christ. It's a miracle, I guess. Now, I want to read a verse. There's a verse in Isaiah 6. You don't have to turn to it. Isaiah 66, actually. The ending of the verse is, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So this trembling at my word has been kind of part of my journey in the last month because of talking with people, conversations with people. I'm like, how can they end, be where they're at when they at one time, you know, were fervently or were in church every Sunday? How can we now draw back, or how can we now say these scriptures don't mean that? And I'm just like, I don't want to ever depend on my own ability to keep myself in the narrow or to keep myself in the truth. We need to have that tremble that is word. We need to, you know, basically, I guess is how I see it, and not let the tests of life and the bitterness, the disappointments make us cynical and bitter, and become complacent. And that takes me to Jeremiah chapter 2. You might turn there. I'm going to read a couple of verses there. This was really kind of moving to me. Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 5. I don't know, can you feel the pain? Let me start reading in verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee in the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the firstfruits of his increase. All that devoured him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. So anybody that touched them were in trouble with God. Okay? He was jealous. Now verse 4. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me? And have walked after vanity, and are become vain. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and pits, through the land of drought and the shadow of death, through the land that had no man had passed through, and where no man dwelt. So here was tremendous testimonies that were in their history, that were in their past, of great deliverance, of great provision. And you forget? You walk away from it? What's happened? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. And the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. And the pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Now look at verse 9. Still, this is God's. Still, God says this. Wherefore I will plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Man. You know, in marriage, there can be hurts. There can be disappointments. I can be angry for 5 minutes. I usually can't be angry with my wife more than 5 minutes. It's crazy. Why is that? But anyway, there is opportunity to just become mechanical. But as you know, just let's just make it real practical. For the thing of, you know, mowing the grass too short, my heart wants to say, look, if you're going to kill the grass, I'm not going to fertilize and seed. Okay? That's just one little thing. And there's so many other things, but when it comes down to it, my future or my relationship, that would be a wedge. There would be She's my dream. She's my the person I will spend my old age with, Lord willing. And to not want to please her and make her happy is just I don't know. It would be for I can't dwell there very long. And in the same way, you know, in the Christian walk, we have a bride, we have a groom. And how many disappointments can happen and we still come to him complete? How many prayers might not be answered? How many, whatever. And do we still push through? Though you slay me, yet will I serve thee. There's so much could be said, but I can't harbor a little grudge for any amount of time. You know, it's just, So in the same way, let's guard ourselves and make sure that the light and the Spirit of God are having free course in our life, and not let the foxes that break down the wall and the little inroads. You know, years ago I built a driveway back to my farm. It was through a field. It was hay field, pasture field, and I made a driveway. I just got my tractor and my plow. I wasn't going to pay $1 million to have somebody come in and put a driveway. So I plowed and put dirt this way and dirt that way and made me a little ditch. So the water is supposed to go in the ditch, right? And the healthy driveway is shaped like this. So the water runs into the ditch. Well, what happens? Well, you drive and driving and the wheels go here and here, you know? And all of a sudden there's a little hump there. You don't really see it. But when rain comes, the water's running lengthwise down the driveway, not running into the ditch. And then you get a gully washer and the gravel washes. And if you don't do nothing, pretty soon you have ruts in the dirt. I mean, it's like... So as I was grading my driveway, you know, it's kind of like... I had to think of this. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians then, where Paul wrote that letter of correction. And there has to be sorries made. There has to be rock the boat a little bit. You have to get honest and share a heart. But anyway, so I see this as I'm grading my driveway. Grass comes in, dirt comes in, and for the first week it ain't pretty. But I gotta knock that little ledge off so the water goes back to the ditch and doesn't run the length of the driveway. Where there's hills, the water runs with the tracks, and it'll tear a driveway up. So as I'm grading and getting that ledge knocked off, and then the middle gets humped up too, you gotta knock that off. But for the next week or two, it looks ugly. There's clumps of grass, and there's a little dirt here and there. And my children are like, what are you doing? You know, I mean, it looks like you don't know what you're doing. But for the health of the driveway, you gotta tear it up. You gotta keep it. So let's go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And I'm in the driveway where I'm at now. It's not quite as bad, but it's still got to be done. Because, it's just that way. And twice a year I'm grading that, trying to keep that water from running lengthwise and get off the drive. Because if it stays in the drive, you got to get loads of gravel. Got to keep buying gravel. But you get it off the ground. 2 Corinthians 7:11. I guess we'll just start at the beginning here. We're going to go down to verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. And we have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Amen. They're committed. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Great is the boldness of speech toward you, because it's all love motivated. Amen. I'm not here to prick or to geeks. His intentions are pure. So it gives him boldness. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. And when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I did not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh wrath. Now verse 11. This scripture was I had to find it. It was on me for a couple of weeks ago. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Okay? Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. So what he wrote to them, though it was disturbing and uncomfortable, reproving maybe, I'm not sure what all, but it did a good work. And we want to always, it's not to our benefit to shrug our shoulder or to if the Holy Spirit is drawing or wanting us, because we want to bring much glory, much honor, much fruit to the kingdom. Which brings me to John 15. The vine and the branches. Praise the Lord. You know, I John 15 is. We don't have. This just shows the personality. I mean, the how a personal Savior we have. I guess there's many things in this chapter. We'll probably read the whole chapter. John 15. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, or maybe prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now verse 3 he throws in here. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's good. That's good news. Don't have to clean myself, but to believe what he has said, to submit and receive it. That's how we're made clean. Then he says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So he puts some weight or responsibility on us to abide. And we read the parable of the sower. And they had not much root. They were offended. Some were offended because of tests and trials. And they drew back. So anyway, here he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So he's not saying this to make our life miserable, to give us a hard road to hoe so that we just continue on our face. He wants our joy to be full. Hallelujah. And faith righteousness brings peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's my experience anyway. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, verse 12, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Wow, that's a great love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. No secrets. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father in my name, he shall give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they that persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And it is our burden, it's our call, it is our desire that they might come to know him. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But the Comforter is... But when the Comforter is come, which we're saying it has already come, and we know it has, not only because the Bible says, but we have been comforted. He will send unto you from the Father, I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Yeah, amen. I just love the personalness of it, of our God. It's not, when I hear about the Muslims, how their God, I mean, who they worship is, there's no love relationship. There's no, it's totally, cold. When I printed in the fear of the Lord, there was 30 references in the Old Testament and one in the New. In the New Testament, it was in Acts 9:31. It talks about how the church was edified and built up or something because as they walked in the fear of the Lord. And so I guess that I want to walk circumspectly, maybe is the word. Is it? I think there's a verse. And not regard iniquity and not wink at something because there's verses that talk about God sending a lying spirit or leaving people go, no longer convicting it or because they're not surrendering to him or connected to the vine, you might say, like we read. Amen. I draw nigh to him. He'll draw. Revelations, this is always a good verse to end with. Revelations 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will. Hallelujah. That's good news. Let him take the water of life freely. So may our joy be full as we heard of his care for us, his love for us, and as we have seen how even with a testimony in our past or their parents had testimonies, they saw God move. And we in America, I think it's actually, we have ease, we have abundance of idleness like Sodom, that was their sin, the fullness of bread and abundance of idleness, I think, but I think countries where they are persecuted for their faith and they are in danger just to go out to meet together, and they do it in caves or after dark or go, I don't think they struggle with some things that we struggle with. I think ease and stuff has, but anyway, through all that, we're here in this time. We can't say, well, that's an excuse now, because he gives grace. He gives grace to don't matter where we live. He gives grace to them. He gives grace to us. But may we rejoice even in difficult. This week was a little difficult, and I find it was like, I just surrender. I will be happy. I'm not going to fight the health department guy. I will pray. I told him I'm going to talk to higher powers. And I did. After a day or two, I was like, I don't have the higher power guy, the guy's name or number, email address. So I just talked to God. He's higher up. And then, I found peace. I did email a higher guy later. A guy on earth, you might say. Thank you, Jesus. But yeah, smile in the storm. With Christ in my vessel, we can smile at the storm. Okay. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the ministry of your Spirit, Lord, and for your drawing for the hope, the peace, the joy that's in you, Lord. Just pray that you'd have free course here, and as we bring our prayer needs before you, we do look to you. And thank you again for being faithful. Thank you again for this body of believers. You pray that you bless each one. And I come against the schemes, the plans of the enemy. I plead the blood of Jesus over every trap he would lay, over everything he would want to do to bring devastation. You are our defense. You are a strong and mighty tower, and we completely trust in you and not in our ability to keep ourselves. But in you, Lord, we surrender that to you and do a call on you to, even if you have to, like the shepherd breaking the lamb's leg because he was always in trouble, Lord, if you have to do that to keep us on the narrow, we give you permission. Amen. Hallelujah.